On today's monthly bonus show, only for the supporter feeds, we're going to decode the Jordan Peele film, Him. I'll prove to you that this film is a Freemasonic initiation into the death and resurrection of Osiris, guided through blood sacrifices, into Kabbalistic gods, through rituals of ego death, squaring the circle, embracing the goat with bobs. This film shows us how to illuminate, confirm sports ball heroes. So join me today on Occult Symbolism and Bob Culture. This one's going to have it all. This one's going to have it all, folks. When I first watched this movie, I thought, you know, maybe it's a little too obvious, right, to be worth doing an analysis and deep diving into these things. But then I let my Patreon folks vote on what the supporter feeds would want for the month of March. Because every month we do a bonus show on the supporter feeds. And for March, I said, what do you want? I let them vote. And Him came out on top, tied with Fallout, technically. So I'll probably work up a Fallout analysis in April, I'm guessing, maybe. So I was like, all right, let's do Him. We've been talking about it for a long time. Let's just get into it. So I watched it for a second time, and I was shocked at how much was actually going on that I didn't even catch on the first viewing. So this is actually a great candidate for a film to unpack for occult symbolism. All right. Now, if you're on that free feed loser status, you should join us on one of the supporter feeds. I don't care which one you do. I always recommend Patreon because Patreon gets you into that fire comment section in the chats, which I love dearly. I like listening to what you guys have to say, you know? You teach me a lot in the comment section. So whichever one you want, whichever one's easy for you, just get in there. And you unlock the monthly bonus shows just like this, ad-free, early access, links in the description. You already know. So if you're sticking around for the preview because you're like, well, I don't know. Let's see what dumb stuff you're going to talk about. Hang around. Before you leave, check out the links I'll put in the show notes for some other related shows that I've already done similar or referenced in today's show, including a video film analysis for Jordan Peele's Get Out that I did. It was a re-upload from the old YouTube archive that got torched, and I re-uploaded it to my new YouTube. Again, go subscribe at Occult Symbolism, all one word on YouTube. Links in the bio, as always. Help me get to 100K this year. And thank you to everyone who already signed up. I got a thermometer in my studio. I'm tracking progress. We're slipping behind the pace a little bit to get me to 100K this year, but you know, we're going to give her hell. And if you already signed up and you're already subscribed at YouTube, thank you. It's free, of course. You know, it's the free feed version of the show, so there's ads and crap. But if you already subscribed, thank you for helping out. I appreciate you, all right? Because tons of you have, so thank you. Now, Him, the movie, should you watch it? Yes, you should. If you're sensitive to gore and horror, you might not like this. This might not be for you. But for a psychopath like me, yeah, for sure. To me, it's the weakest of the Jordan Peele films. And in fact, during my research, I found out that he actually did not direct this film. So he was the producer because the movie got into a little bit of criticism because they promoted it as a Jordan Peele movie. And when the first time I saw it, that's what I thought I was watching. He was involved. He was not the director, which is why it's the worst of the movies. It's good, not great. All right. I'm not trashing on it. I'm just saying, like, it's not as good as the other Peele movies. I am doing an official ranking for movies now, and I rank it with a 7.5 Gilgamesh Resurrection Chambers out of 10. Now, if you opt to not watch this film, because you're like, I don't want to see it, I don't really care, blah, blah, I would recommend you watch the video version of this episode, which obviously this is on the supporter feeds, which means if you're in the VIP section or Patreon, if you go tier 2, I know that's like an upsell grift, I'm sorry, but the tier 2 is where you get the video version of the show. And the reason I'm telling you is because I'm going to show you, I've got like 5 clips loaded up, at least 100 images of what we're going to talk about from the movie. And all I'm saying is, like, the choice is yours. It'll make more sense when you can see the visuals if you haven't seen the movie. Okay? There you go. Now, as always, who's in the movie? Marlon Wayans. That's right, Marlon. He plays the main, well, there's 2 main characters. He plays one of the main characters, Isaiah. Marlon Wayans, of course, from the Wayans family dynasty, going back through and living color. If you're a 90s old loser like me, you remember the Wayans brothers dominating the 90s. There was a show called the Wayans brothers. There was a show called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. There was Don't Be a Menace in South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. There was Scary Movie, which they're still doing Scary Movies. I don't know who's watching that garbage still, to be honest. This was stuff that was cool 30 years ago. All right. All these Wayans things. He peaked in the 90s. Okay. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying, like, there's been a long time. So, like, to hear that he's filming Scary Movie 6, I was like, really? Who's watching this? People are, though, apparently, I guess. I don't know. My favorite Marlon Wayans movie is Requiem for a Dream. That was, I believe, 99. Darren Aronofsky. Incredible movie. I mean, it's also got weirdo Jared Leto in it. Anyway, Marlon recently, in a very public beef with 50 Cent, after Marlon was defending Diddy and criticized 50 for releasing the Diddy doc, they got into it a little bit, and eventually it fizzled out. All right. And I think since then, T.I. started getting into it with 50. But anyway. The other main character, Tyreek Withers, plays Cameron Cade, I believe is his character's name. This guy was in Hulu's Tell Me Lies. If you've ever seen that, it's damn near smut on the Hulu. Okay. He was also in a remake for I Know What You Did Last Summer. Again, with like the 90s nostalgia stuff. A sort of death and resurrection, if you will, of 90s culture. Now, fun fact, Tyreek played wide receiver for Florida State. So he was a real bona fide sports ball player. Another not so fun fact, he had an older brother who died in a car crash, which is kind of crazy because this film is all about blood sacrifices for fame. Okay. Another main character in the movie, Isaiah's wife, played by Julia Fox, by far the most Illuminate confirmed actor here. She was in the movie Uncut Gems, right? And she's got a wild story, right? Born in Italy, has some lousy parents, ends up living with her drug dealer boyfriend at the age of 15. Various stretches of homelessness, worked as a dominatrix while in high school. Gets arrested a bunch for shoplifting and drinking and partying. Credit card fraud. Attempts to end herself here on earth at the age of 16. And ends up in a psych ward. Which is, I mean, it's just wild, right? She gets a diagnosis of being borderline. She later says she's bipolar, OCD, ADHD, autism, and all this stuff, right? At the age of 17, she overdoses on heroin, has a near-death experience, gets sober when her close friend dies of fentanyl in 2019. Then, just a couple years later, in 2022, she starts dating Kanye West. And in January 2022, I did a show about this. Also, it was the bonus supporters only show for that month of January 2022. And we talked about her usage of her own bodily fluids to create art. Just like old Marina Abramovich, right? With the spirit cooking. And on that episode, I deep dived into her art. Rick Owens, people eating people. Human furniture, blood sacrifices to alien gods, which the Epstein Files sort of proves true now. And I'll link it in the show notes again, you know, and if you sign up for that, you're going to get a twofer, you know? You can unlock all the bonus content, including this Julia Fox show, because that would be the first one I would check out for sure. Now, and we're going to talk about her artwork later on. Jim Jeffries, the comedian, is also in this movie. He plays Dr. Marco. Then you got Tim Heidecker, who plays the football agent, a minor role. But the reason I mentioned him, he's from my hometown of Allentown, PA. All right. Ironically, played a Utah cop in the 2015 Vacation remake. He's been in a ton of stuff, more so on TV with comedy bits and so on. There's a rapper in this movie, Guap Dad 4000. That's Cam's brother in this movie, you know. Because I'm a hip-hop nerd. I'm sure there's other hip-hop nerds out there. Tierra Wax also in this movie. She plays Cam's girlfriend. Now, we're done with the cast. Let's walk through the whole film. I'm going to point out all the crazy symbolism along the way. Then we're going to wrap it up and zoom out with an explanation of what we're watching. And what we're watching is an initiation of Illuminate confirming someone to go with Bob's. That's what this movie's about. So plot spoiler coming. You've been warned. Also, explicit language is going to be dropped on this. So if you're in the minivan with the kids and you're like, hey, chill with the language, bro. I'm warning you right now. There's going to be explicit language on the clips from my potty mouth. It's going to be explicit language. All right. So you've been forewarned. Without further ado, let's get into it. Right off the rip, we're watching a sports balling game and we've got a few things going on. The football resembles a giant pine cone, which is the symbol for the pineal gland. It's about the awakening of the third eye. So we already know we're into some kind of idea of becoming enlightened into the ways of the occult. And you see lots of images of the all-seeing eye throughout the movie to further bolster the point. Now, what we're watching is the championship game of football between the San Antonio Saviors and the Atlanta Masons. Because Freemasonry is part of the agenda. It's part of the rituals, as we will describe as we get further into this movie. It's all over the place. It's undeniable. Now, it says it's the championship game. Therefore, it has the Roman numeral LXVII. All right. You got to look it up. What that means, the Roman numeral is for 67. Now, we just did a whole show on the number 67 being a voodoo-inspired meme. Check that out. It goes into the Yoruba pantheon of gods and voodoo and all kinds of crazy stuff. So interesting that this would show up, right? Now, for the football game, the military is doing the flyover. And there's this whole side theory about the NFL being, you know, Friedrich Nietzschean, Superman, capitalistic, Ayn Rand, authoritarian. Yet at the same time, also very socialist. Also very socialist. Meaning, if you are the poorest performing team of the year, you get the first draft pick. Like, that's helping out the people on the bottom to move them to the top. Like my Las Vegas Raiders, we're going to get our number one pick. Watch out. It's about to go down. Max Crosby still on the team. Now, a boy is watching this football game. And you see this boy is in a house that loves football. They got a shrine. They're grooming this kid to be a football player someday, clearly. And they're watching it. The star quarterback on the San Antonio Saviors is Marlon Wayans' character, Isaiah White. Now, notice his number. His number is 10. What does 10 symbolize? The Kabbalistic completion of man becoming God. Because in the Kabbalistic tree of life, there are 10 sephirots. God's mind is represented through the 10 sephirot. So achieving the number 10 is to achieve godhood. To go from Malkuth to Kether to the top. Now, Isaiah White throws the touchdown. But in the process, his leg snaps in half on the field, bone sticking out. The young boy's father makes him watch the TV, makes him watch this guy with the bone sticking out, with the blood and the gore. And he tells him, he indoctrinates him. He says, that's what real men do. They make sacrifices. The idea of sacrifice comes up a million times in this movie. Dad is clearly grooming the boy to be the next Isaiah White, all right? Dad says, and dad's like hyping away, he's like, who are you? The boy says, I'm him, right? And we're going to find out what that means. Well, the term him is a coded reference to something, and you're going to find out what it is by the end of this movie. Strangely enough, his leg, already shattered in half, bone sticking out, you'll notice it's healed already while he's still playing the game. How did that happen? It was literally dangling meat. He was snapped into a Slim Jim. He snapped into the Slim Jim. Bone's sticking out. Now it's healed. How did that happen? Well, that's interesting. But you gotta kind of watch it for this stuff because it snuck by. The first time I watched the movie, I didn't even see that. So now it's presumably we fast forward to the future at some point, okay? They're saying Cameron Cade, the boy that was watching the TV, he's going to be the next Isaiah White, the next, you know, best quarterback ever. So Cameron, he's being interviewed in his home by the media because he's about to go into the draft. But first he's got to go into the combine where you sort of prove how good you are at sportsing and all this. And Dad's dead now. And you see over at the shrine, there's this photo of him. Apparently he was a Marine, but he's dead. And we already know this is part of the blood sacrifice thing. The family member dies in order for the other family member to step into the limelight. Cameron says, I want to be the GOAT. I want to be the greatest of all time. And you already know, we over here on this podcast, we don't hear GOAT and think greatest of all time. We think GOAT with bobs, all right? And for people who don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Baphomet, right? GOAT with bobs is Baphomet. Well, you don't like to say his name, though, because you're actually using a sort of, in some weird ways, energetically summoning through the power of the spoken word and the name, this entity, and we don't want GOAT with bobs around, all right? So we say GOAT with bobs. Now, fun fact, the original script for this film was GOAT. All right? Back when Jordan Peele's company Monkey Paw bought the script. So Cam is practicing, he's throwing the football, he hits the uprights, you know, the goalposts. Like, that's how good he is. He can hit the uprights from 30 yards away. Well, he hits it, the ball drops to the ground, and it's spinning like a top perfectly. Something supernatural is happening. And he bends over to pick it up. A giant mascot dude with these big curvy horns bashes him in the head. Why does this happen? What are we watching here? On one level, it makes me think of Inception, starring the world's greatest actor, Leo DiCaprio. And, you know, because they have the talisman that spins to show them they're in whichever level of reality they are. But in this movie, at this point, this is done to establish a chain of events that is being orchestrated by the elites to get Cameron out into the desert to sign the Faustian bargain. That's what it is. Because he has to go out to the desert for the rehabilitation through Isaiah. Now, also notice the parallel to the Freemasonic origin story of Hiram Abiff, right? Hiram Abiff gets smashed in his dome with a big old hammer. The Freemason rituals make the candidate go through the same process of being killed, then reborn with the gnosis, where they take the blindfold off. And that's what Cam is in for right here in this movie. Now, he's got a brain scan, and he's got a head injury, okay? The doctor says, I don't want you going to the combine now. And they're like, look, you get one more brain injury, you're done. So you got to heal before you get out there again. So effectively, it's career ending. But he don't care, right? He's going for it. Staples in the head and everything. So he's at the combine. He's getting a haircut. We see his phone dinging off. And the notification says, we can see it on the screen. It says it's 11:17. Someone named Murph texts him 1717 Masonic Avenue. Now, this is, again, you probably wouldn't think much of this if you didn't freeze the screen while you're watching it, like total losers do, like me. 17 is critical here because that is part of the Osiris mysteries, right? Osiris was born on the 17th day. 17th letter is Q, which I connected all these dots to QAnon from September 2020, all right? So 17 and Osiris are connected, because we're looking at the death and resurrection rituals. Also, it says Masonic Avenue, obviously a reference to Freemasonry, which comes up many times in this movie. So his agent, who we hear is also Isaiah White's agent, same guy, is fielding questions at the combine now, because it turns out Cam isn't going to be performing. The agent makes it sound like, look, he's not doing it because he doesn't have to, when the reality is he can't. Everyone's worried about this head injury, right? So he doesn't perform at the combine. Then he gets a call from the agent saying, like, hey, if you accept an invite from Isaiah to go down to Isaiah's training camp, you can get another shot at getting drafted. Because it's assumed at this point that he doesn't get drafted at all. It's kind of confusing in the movie. He gets pulled out of the combine And they try to play it off like, well, he doesn't need to prove himself. But then apparently he doesn't get drafted at all. So he's at a party and he's all sad guy, whatever. But he takes this phone call from his agent, basically the start of the Faustian bargain. He takes the phone call while he's in a bathtub. All right. And of course he takes it. He's like, yes, I want another chance at greatness. I'm going to go out to Isaiah's weird little desert camp. But he takes it in the bathtub. This is the passage of the goddess sacrifice. So he takes the trip out to the desert and he gets to Isaiah's camp. On the way, there's a bunch of weirdos who worship Isaiah and they're camped out in the middle of nowhere, right? And this is the desert, right? The desert's surreal. It's always illuminate, confirm. It's about separation, surrealism, and isolation. I believe I talked about this on Coast to Coast recently. Last week I was on there and Richard Sierra and I were talking about the desert. Yeah, we were. Because we were talking about the, you know, Christ having to go out to the wilderness, to the desert. And it's a place where people isolate from the regular world. And it's a bit strange out there. Okay? Now, fun fact, this was filmed in New Mexico. That's right. Specifically at the Spaceport America, a literal spaceport for commercial space vehicles and rocket launchers, which is in the Jornada del Muerto, 20 miles from Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. All right. Now, if you don't see the connection there, if you're like, well, who cares? What are you talking about? New Mexico is always the place where all the action is. All right. We talked about James Shelby Downard's King Kill 33 essay. I did a 3-part series, again, only for the supporter feeds last year. Check that out for more. But he asserts that the path to the Trinity atomic bomb test on the journey of the dead man, Jornada del Muerto, which starts at the Teotihuacan cave where they had a devil of a bat, a bat god. It's all connected. So fascinating that it would be here. Also, simultaneously, on my recent episode of Breaking Social Norms with my wife, we talked about, we're doing a 2-part special series on Zorro Ranch in New Mexico, Albuquerque, ties into the UFO general that went missing, crazy stuff. All right. New Mexico, very important. So Cam gets dropped off at this bizarre looking complex, walks up to the front door, opens the door. Inside, there's a portrait of Isaiah and his wife. Now, his wife is, of course, Julia Fox, right? And in the portrait, she has her arms crossed, just like Osiris. All right? It's the X, symbolized by Kenneth Grant as the X and the O, the phallus and the void, that kind of thing. And naturally, when he meets her, she's talking about sex toys, because sex magic and the opposing polarities coming together is part of the whole thing. But anyway, before we get there, Cameron is navigating through the house, finds Isaiah doing some taxidermy, and Cam is like, hey, did you kill that animal yourself? Isaiah doesn't answer, you'll notice. Doesn't answer the question. Instead, he asks Cam if he knows the history of why quarterbacks exist. Take a listen to this.
Do you know why quarterbacks exist?
I don't know. I win games?
No. Native American boys at the Carlisle Indian School had to play these big-ass white boys from Yale. The Indian kids, they were outsized, but they outsmarted them. They created all these trick plays like the forward pass, and these white boys, oh, they didn't like it. They wanted to make the game more brutal to fit their style of play. And the game got so violent that kids was dying on the field, and the president had to come in and make the forward pass legal. So those little Carlisle Indian boys, they go on to perfect the spiral. Now they're mascots. So what I'm saying to you, Cam, is nigga, don't be no mascot.
Hmm? Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir, man. Call me Zay.
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah.
Cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
So we find out that Native American football players were playing these guys from Yale, Skull and Bones, of course. And the Native Americans found a way to sort of throw the ball, do trick plays, and so on. So the whites over at Yale, they're getting mad, and they get more violent. And the Native Americans evolved the game such that they learn how to perfect the spiral. All right. Now, Isaiah, which we will say Zay from here on out because it's easier to say, and that's what they refer to him in the movie. Zay proceeds to say, talk about all this, and guess, you know, he's like, hey, guess what happens to the natives? They're now the mascots. Okay? Don't become a mascot. Now, this is going to come up at the end of the movie, this whole mascot talk, all right? But Zay says, don't become a mascot. Now, fun fact, this was a true story. I looked it up. It was in the Carlisle Indian Industrial School led by Pop Warner and Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe was a Native American, gold medal Olympian, and they played against these elite teams at Yale and Harvard, and they did, in fact, perfect all the things we know and love about football today. The overhand, spiral throw. So that was a true story. Now, Zay has Cam help him with the taxidermy at this point, and the camera has this perfect shot of Cam holding the holding the hammer. Same hammer from the Savior's logo, by the way. Why a hammer? Well, that matters too. Because in the San Antonio Savior's logo, they have a hammer. And the reason why this keeps coming up is because it's the Freemasonic Hiram Abiff story, okay? Where the three hooligans, they kill him with the hammer. Or you could say this is a play on the Nails of Christ. Like Nine Inch Nails, the band, they claim that has nothing to do with Christianity, even though their whole first album was anti-religion, you know, terrible lies, all about not about Christianity being a lie. And look, I love Nine Inch Nails. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. But like, let's be honest, guys. Nine Inch Nails is a reference to the nails that crucified Christ. They say it's not. Anyway, we see the horns on this wall from this camera shot line up perfectly with Cam's head. Right? They're sort of alluding to him taking on a new form here. All right, so day one starts, and it's just fun, right? We see the football field at Zay's place, and you see the big logo that he has in the field. I couldn't tell what the logo means, right? The best guess I have, and I don't like this guess, is it looks like the Greek letter Psi, which is, but like two of them mirror imaged on each other. And why would that be? Well, Psi is the 23rd letter of the alphabet, 23 Enigma, maybe. It doesn't really fit into the story anywhere. Like I said, I don't love that theory, but nonetheless. Then we get a montage of lifting, sports balling. Zay is mentoring Cam. Everything's great, right? Wrong. Wrong. We then get introduced to Dr. Marco. That's Jim Jeffries. And he makes Cam strip naked. And Zay says that he had a terrible childhood, which is why he's so good at his job. And Cam asks how he got back on the field. And Zay says, I damn near killed myself. And then he just says, you know, rehabilitation, right? And he says, like, to be a black quarterback, he had to be great to be good. Imagine what he had to do to become the GOAT, right? And at this point, if you watch the movie, you'll see the tape. They're tape measuring Cam and his neck, and you see the 6-inch mark of the ruler centered on the neck, on the throat. There's lots of sixes in the movie, is what I'm trying to get at. So Cam says, look, I'm doing this for my family. But Zay says, look, you're going to have to need to find something. You got to dig deeper than just family, all right? And notice that Cam's always wearing a cross necklace. And at this point, Cam meets Julia Fox, Elsie White, Isaiah's wife. And she's selling sex toys. Immediately, the first time we meet her, she's selling sex toys, all right? So Cam, at this point, now he gets into an ice bath. Zay is receiving blood infusions to improve his blood oxygen, if that's what the blood is. We're going to find out later more, and we suspect it's not just blood. It's maybe adrenochrome, right? I don't know. We don't know. Dr. Marco goes into this whole thing about how ancient Roman gladiators would swear oaths to their trainers, and he basically suggests football is the newer iteration of gladiator games. This, again, will come up later. He then injects him with something for the pain, and we hear him say how, he says, many religions would consider his blood holy. So right now, we already know Cam's getting injected with Isaiah's blood, or whatever this mystery blood is. Now, notice the juxtaposition here of religion, specifically Christianity, the Eucharist, right? The blood and body of Christ. Plant that seed a little bit there. And notice the room that they're in, very ritualistic. There's candles. They're in the center of a circle inside of a tub, right? Most importantly, you see doors all around this big circle, and they have triangles in various positions, upright, inverted, lines through them. This is what they use in witchcraft. It uses the elements of air, earth, fire, and water. You can put these triangles together and get the union of opposing forces symbol. Cam dunks into the ice bath, and then he wakes up, and a guy named Malak is messing with him. Malak. Moloch. All right? That's Moloch, if you didn't catch that. Now we're at day two. We hear Mobb Deep's Shook Ones, Prodigy, OG in the conspiracy world. Rest in peace, Prodigy. Cam and Zay are running in the desert, and Cam pukes. He's laying on the ground. Zay is still cruising around. Cam sees a mascot. He has a delusion. He sees a mascot walking up to him with a giant hammer that hits him in the head, right? But it's not real. And Zay's like, come on, Cam, get it together, dude. So Zay entices him, asking him rhetorical questions. Would you rather avoid getting tired or not get injured? And Cam is about to explain. He says, I'd like to avoid getting injured. And Zay's about to tell him how he can actually achieve that. He's like, hey, I got a way you can avoid getting injured. But right then, some other football dudes show up to play, so it cuts the conversation. All right? This is very much adrenochrome talk. That is what I think we're looking at. Doctor, because it's supposed to, like, keep you young, right? This immortality stuff that these weirdos are always into. Now, Dr. Marco shows up, injects Cam with some more stuff, and we keep zooming in on the all-seeing eye, right? His eye is opening to becoming enlightened. And Zay has Cam do a bunch of football drills with these guys that show up. Like, he's throwing the football with his eyes closed. And then they're like, we're gonna set up a new drill with the Hail Mary football throwing machine. And there's this Hail Mary. It's called the Hail Mary football machine. It's the thing that has, like, the wheels that turn, and you drop the football on it and it shoots out, right? And one of the football helper guys has a shirt off, and he has a giant tattoo on his chest that says faith. All right. And he stands right in front of the Hail Mary machine. And basically, every time Cam throws the ball and it misses the target, this guy gets pelted in the face with a football at very high speeds. As you imagine, his face gets really beat up and bloody and missing teeth and stuff. Now, again, the point here, though, is the Christian iconography used all over the place. This guy has a tattoo of faith on his chest, and the Hail Mary machine is blasting him in the face, right? And during this scene is when we see Zay do the vow of silence symbol. They are initiating Cam. Cam's like, of course, he doesn't like this. He's like, hey, what are we doing here, man? This guy's bleeding. He's catching balls to the face. No Diddy. Or maybe actual Diddy, since Marlon Wayans loves to defend Diddy, apparently. And we see an image, subliminal images of Zay with the leather old school helmet. And this comes up later, too. Now, the Hail Mary machine, you'll see they keep turning up the speed. They turn it up to 6, technically a little past it, to be completely fair and transparent. But that's, like, what seems to be the high speed that they are going towards, right? And Zay has to give this little motivational speech telling Cam, like, look, you better focus and get it together, because this dude's about to get blasted right in his dome piece with his football again. And this guy named Sed is the guy getting blasted. He keeps getting blasted, whatever. Cam starts throwing the ball better. The drill is over. And Sed says, thank you for the opportunity to get pelted in my face with the balls. And he's losing his teeth. And this is very reminiscent of the cult of Fight Club. Very reminiscent. So Dr. Marco tells Cam that Zay once also had a head injury, and they, you know, fixed it. So they're going to fix his head injury. They put him in a hyperbaric chamber. Zay says to him, you know the phrase God family football? For me, it's football family God. Because that's what this movie's about. It's about man becoming God, taking God's place. So inside the hyperbaric chamber, it maxes out, and of course they max it out, to 60 PSI. There's yet again another six. So Cam, he wakes up, it's now day three, and they're doing scrimmages. And Cam gets yet another head injury, and he's spitting up blood. And Zay's taunting him, saying, like, I knew you were just an emotional pretty boy looking for validation because your dad didn't love you. Ouch, sick burn. So Zay says, hey, I don't think Cam wants it that bad. And they're kind of doing this little game, and Zay yells in his face, like, what are you willing to sacrifice? And Cam, he's yelling back. He's like, everything. He don't care. He's all in now, all right? So Cam's playing, and this time he hits another guy so hard that he gives this other guy a head injury. And the guy's on the ground, like, seizing up, and Cam is taunting him. And Zay shows his approval for this, right? Pretty barbaric. So it's clear that all of these football scrimmage helpers, they're sacrifices for the big ritual. And in fact, this guy is seizing out on the ground, and they all get in a circle and start singing around this guy the Amen song. Amen. Which, you know, I haven't been in a few years, but I go to an Orthodox church, and, like, we have, you know, liturgy from St. Basil and stuff. We don't sing church hymns, but I've heard this church hymn on the movie Spring Breakers as well, which was also about turning out. Remember, Selena Gomez was in the movie. I believe her name was Faith. And the whole idea was, like, she got turned out into this. They try to turn her out into this, like, satanic dark realm. Kind of like that again with this movie. So Cam's walking around late at night, snooping around the house, right? Doing a little Snoopy snoop. And here comes a football rolling down the hall out of nowhere, supernaturally. Kind of like the spinning football earlier. I believe this is a reference to The Shining with the ball that mysteriously showed up down the hall, right? And he starts having illusions of, like, plastic wrapping around his head, and he's freaking out now. He's like, oh, dang, something's wrong. So he calls his family from this phone, because they took a cell phone already, right? They took from this, like, house phone. And he calls his family. He's like, I'm having these weird visions. And here comes Dr. Marco. And he shuts this down immediately, right? And Cam's just like, hey, doc, like, I need something for a headache. And the doctor says, it takes blood to grow a king. And he's alluding to preparing a special something for Cam. Oh, what could it be? And doctor again references the Roman gladiators. He says, two men enter the Colosseum, only one man leaves. Right? Now, that phrase, it takes blood to grow a king, I looked it up, and apparently it's a theme from Game of Thrones. I haven't read the books, because they use blood from royal ancestry to do blood magic rituals in the books, apparently. So that's kind of strange. Then we're outside, we see all those weird cult people, and there's a woman, and she's dressed in all red. She is the Scarlet Woman, in a way. Then we're inside the mansion, and there's a wall of faces. That's right. Just like we just got done talking about with the Under the Silver Lake film analysis, just like in Epstein's dentist chair room, just like in Game of Thrones, there's Game of Thrones again, and just like in Westworld. Okay. The Hall of Faces. This is the death of the ego stuff. We'll talk about it later. Zay and Cam, they're in the sauna. Zay tells Cam about this recurring nightmare he has of watching TV. And he's like, man, I hate it. I see someone else as the goat. I don't like that. Kind of a vulnerable moment we didn't expect, right? Because Zay's always on this, like, rah-rah, high tea stuff. So Cam's all alone in the sauna room after Zay leaves. And you see the temperature is 203, which, again, another six. 2 times 3 is 6. And here comes the Scarlet Woman, the fan with the red, right? She comes creeping out from under the bench, and her two weird lackeys show up in the big room, and she's trying to kill Cam with a rock, and she's like, we don't want you. And because presumably he's taken over for Isaiah and they worship Isaiah. But he outstrengths her. What's the right term? Outpowers her. And he chokes her to death in this sauna. So now we've got a blood sacrifice. He's willing to murder. It's murder. It's murder, right? But wait, there's more. Old girl wakes up and turns out she's not dead. Here comes Zay and he slams her into the wall. Now she's dead. Now she's dead. And he's cheering it on too. He loved this. He was impressed with her dedication to win. He says, he died for us, so I play for him. What are we talking about? It's important. It's the idea of being God, and it's a play on the movie title Him, because Him is actually encoded. It's about man becoming God. Him equals God. That's the secret code here, all right? So Cam's all done, and he's packed. He's like done. He's had enough. He's like leaving. I'm out of here. I'm done. And here comes Zay's wifey, and she's talking to Cam and trying to lure him out to hang with the babes by the pool, right? So Cam's like, all right, I'll stay a little bit longer. So Cam, he's in this circle room. All these bad chicks are dancing, right? Dr. Marco's in there mopping up this dead woman's blood. And it's implied that he had a great time because he wakes up the next morning with a hangover. But Zay's in the room watching him sleep. He's in the little cuck chair. And he's got the strap. And Cam wakes up and he's got the gun pointed at him. And he's like, did you fuck her? And Cam was like, whoa, I got a girl. And Zay laughs at that. Zay says, if you're afraid to hurt your girl's feelings, you can't run this franchise because real killers don't care about hurting feelings. And Zay's like, all right, okay, let's just kick it like bros today. And now Cam is apparently staying a little longer. So it's now day 5. They're out in the desert. They got AKs. They're shooting up these like mock-ups they've got set up of football players. And Cam, he's all down. He's thinking about the lady that they killed. And Zay says, what lady? And then Zay says, oh yeah, that lady. Like real weird behavior, right? He hands him the AK and he's like, I need you to shoot that mascot. And Zay says, if you hit it, I'll give you anything. But if you lose, I'm taking your youth. This goes by kind of unnoticed, I bet, by most people. I'm taking your youth. This is the adrenochrome stuff, the blood. But Cam says, no, I don't like handouts. Then he taunts Zay and he says, if I miss, then I might let you be quarterback one more year, talking trash. Ends up shooting this mascot in the head. And I suspect there was a person in that costume. I don't know why. It's what it seems like. So now Cam is in a deprivation tank and his head sinks into the water. And now it's day 5. They're doing a photo shoot. Zay gives big speech about how tribes made boys into men by taking them into the woods. They would beat them. They would drug them. They would feed them blood so the spirit could pass on so that the kid could become the new king. Take a listen to this.
The old tribes made men by dragging boys into the wild. Beat them, cut them, feed them roots and smoke and blood until visions came. And that blood they were fed was that of their fiercest warrior. So their spirit could be passed on to that boy who survived. Left the kid, returned to king.
You know, 5 a.m. workout since I could remember. Eat, sleep, football. That was the routine. And at that age, I wanted to be a kid.
See, football's no different. Only now, the boys aren't dragged. They're drafted. And the gods sit in skyboxes. See, greatness takes more than talent and hard work. It's about surviving the death of who you used to be.
Zay says, you know, football is no different. You've got, you know, and the gods are the people in the skyboxes, and it's about surviving the death of who you used to be. All right? Death of the ego, it's the Osiris mysteries of death and resurrection, okay? Because the movie's about killing the ego. It's about letting the shadow take over, which is why Zay's roasting this guy like, bro, you worried about hurting your girl's feelings? You got to embrace that dark side, right? The shadow has to take over. It's this occult idea of man becoming God. Carl Jung talked about integrating one's shadow to become whole. He said, I'd rather be whole than good. And that's kind of what Zay is indoctrinating into Cam. So Cam tells the story of the last time he talked to his dad and how he had disappointed him by saying that he was done for football. And then he says he died for us. And it's, again, another Christ analogy. And to further prove the point, we see a shot of the Last Supper, and Cam is the image of Jesus at the center of the Last Supper. Then Wifey tells him how this whole thing's a huge sacrifice. Take a listen to this.
I saw your little speech. I know how you feel. And I know that you want to make your dad proud. But you can't kill yourself for him. This is a huge sacrifice, and it's not really worth it if your heart's not in it. So, are you sure you want to do this?
I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
Okay. Well, that settles that. And I think we should celebrate. There's actually going to be a party tonight.
Oh, ma'am. Get some more reps in.
Listen, I wasn't supposed to tell you this, but a little birdie told me that they want to make you an offer. Same one they gave him 20 years ago. But, you know, they'd have to meet you first, see if they like you, see if you fit into the Savior's culture, obviously. But I don't know, if I were you, I'd go.
She says, you don't need to kill yourself for him. This is a huge sacrifice, and asks if he's sure he wants to do this. Cam says, I've never been more certain in my life. That was his last chance. Things are about to go off the rails for Cam, all right? And then she's like, look, they're going to make you an offer. And they end up taking Cam to this party spot, this rundown place, has a big sign outside that says recreation, all right? And this is alchemy, to recreate something. That's going to be Cam. So Cam says to Wifey, he's like, I thought you said this was a party. And she says, yeah, but you have to understand when you get to the, because the place looks run down. Looks like a strip mall, right? And she says, when you get to this level, there's all these weird rituals and privacy is paramount. And then he gets escorted to the owners and all this crazy stuff happens in route. I'm going to play the full clip and then we're going to unpack it.
Like their privacy when you get to a certain level, anonymity is paramount, just put it that way. And also, like, with all the fucking weird rituals and shit they do, trust me, they don't need anybody knowing who they are. Hey, Peg. Oh my god, I love this new hair. Wow. Okay, so just so you know, the bald guy is the owner.
Yep.
His kid, you'll see him, he's so fucking annoying, the fat pudgy kid. Just humor him though, because one day all this will be his, you know? Good old nepotism never fails.
Always.
But anyway, just be yourself, be cute, and remember, you're doing this for the culture.
And what did you mean by rituals?
Oh, you know, just rituals. Look at here, I'm familiar with fear. Bitch, I'm trying to be a goat. I ain't really trying to hear it in the smoke that they want. I'm going to be with the bear. I just
hope I like both. I've been betting on my friend. Chronicle, son. Marco. I thirst, you say. After taking a sip of wine, he said, it is finished. Jesus said that. Wow, okay. Run.
Alrighty.
Hey, everyone! What did I fucking tell you?
So, you look fucking great, man.
Oh, generous.
Hey. Let me introduce you to the owner of the Saviors.
Good to meet you, son.
All right, this is it. Look at that smile. That's the cover of fucking Sports Illustrated.
Now I got a question. Are you ready to take the next step?
Thank you.
So Cam says, what were you saying about rituals? And she dodges the question. And she's like, look, the bald guy is the owner. His annoying kid's going to take over one day. Be nice to him. Bald guy, by the way, means the devil's haircut. They call that, like, Crowley and LeVay. They shaved their heads. That's why they devil's haircut. They go into the party hall, and if you see the logo for the Saviors here, it's got the Freemasonic compass and square on it, very clearly. Cam sees Dr. Marco, who gives him one last warning, and even quotes Christ. He says, it is finished. And then whispers, like, run. Okay? So Cam, he don't run. He proceeds to meet the owners with his agent. They ask him if he's ready to take that next step, and they drink a goblet of wine. Maybe blood. Either way, Dr. Marco, he quoted Christ and the wine that Christ took a sip of wine before he died. And that's, again, another reference to the sacrifice thing. So Cam drinks the wine, you know, as the new Christ, the new God. Party starts. You got all the strippers, whatever, whatever. And you're going to hear a track in the background called Blitz by Gene Dawson. And the lyrics are worth looking at. The lyrics go a little something like this. Guts to glory, glory be the purgatory. I can hear the whispers in the dark. I'm throwing Hail Marys like I'm living half buried. I can see the hands up in the sky. Bright light, reach for it. Give me what you got. No sleep, bleed for it. So we're talking about the enlightened one reaching for the light of Lucifer, blood sacrifice, whatever. I just need a lot. Don't speak, don't breathe. You might just have to die. Again, with the sacrifice stuff, a death of the ego even. You might just have to die if this is what you want. Inside, outside, I don't feel nothing. Got a stairway to heaven. At the top, I'll jump. Stairway to heaven, we talked about this with Under the Silver Lake, right? With the ascension rituals, that's what they call the stairway to heaven for Osiris to reach the heavens. The band gonna march, the clock gonna run, time gonna tell if I split my tongue like I might fit check the Grim Reaper. Time will tell the first round draft pick is all evil. Now, during this, and we're gonna unpack that in the conclusion just a touch, why that matters. During the sequence, we see a bunch of images, right? We see an altar between two short pillars. They've got particular symbols on them, all right? These particular eight-pointed stars, and I dug around online and saw that this was the same symbol used for a Latvian pagan god, Aeschylus, and it's compared to the morning star Venus or Lucifer. And the altar, it's got horns on it, and on the side, we see chairs. You see a giant teddy bear, again with another Kubrick giant teddy bear, you know, pedo stuff for the elites, right? Remember the elite getting Hummer for the summer and The Shining? You'll notice the dance floors, checkered floors. I mean, they're over the top with this stuff, right? And Cam picks up this helmet with the horns on it from this altar between the pillars, Boaz and Joaquin. And underneath the helmet is Dr. Marco's head. And it's implied that Wifey killed him because we see her stabbing. And earlier when Dr. Marco warned Cam to run, she saw that. She caught that. She looked at him with a look of disapproval, like, hey. So now it's day six. Sacrifice is the title. All right. There's another six. Of course, it ends on six. So Cam's recovering with a blood bag of Zay's blood from this big party where he signed the contract. Well, he didn't sign the contract yet. Excuse me. And you'll notice he's on a bed of ice. And on the floor, you see a giant symbol of a triangle with a square and circle inside of it. This is very important. This is squaring the circle, referring to an early geometric riddle later used by alchemists to symbolize breaking down a unified field into basic elements so it can be recombined into a more perfect being. It's literally go with Bob's. Go with Bob says solve and coagula on his arms. Dissolve and coagulate to break down and rebuild. It's the alchemical process. Hence why we keep hearing about goats in the movie. Right? And this symbol with the triangle squaring the circle is the symbol of the magnum opus. It's the alchemical great work. It's transforming lead into gold. It's immortality. It's creating the philosopher's stone. So he crawls to a needle that says run on it. Presumably Dr. Marco's last effort to help this guy. Because he's like weak now, right? So Cam injects himself with it. Now he's got strength to get up, but he's mad, right? Big mad. And he's storming the halls with Zay's trophy, which is very pointy. So you know, you know what that's going to mean. It's murder. So he walks into a room where Zay is chilling. And you'll notice the same magical symbol as on the floor is on the door to this room. And Zay's just watching this video of fans screaming his name. And Cam goes to stab Zay, but gets blocked. Zay says, I thought you said you were willing to sacrifice everything. And Cam says, you've been giving me your blood on some weird white people's shit. And Zay says, I knew you would trip over this. And to be fair, it is typically, this call stuff typically is weird white people shit, but not exclusively. Case in point, the guy who basically made sex magic a thing in the West was Pascal Beverly Randolph, who was a black man. All right. Also Jay-Z, probably into some of this weird stuff too. So let's keep race out of this. All right. Everyone's guilty of this. So then Zay explains this process has been going on since the beginning of the league, and it's the blood of the gods. And whoever has the blood of the gods is the goat.
I thought you said you was willing to sacrifice everything.
So you've been giving your blood on some weird white people shit?
See, I knew you wouldn't want to fuck with it. I knew it.
Well, actually, his blood. The one before me. My mentor.
As it was his mentors before that.
Just think of it as a gift from the gods.
It's the good shit.
Fuck does that mean?
You don't feel that shit? You don't feel that fucking beast burning inside you now? And they say this shit's been around since the beginning of the league. Whoever has it is the chosen one. The one to bring the salvation to the people. Whoever has it is the goat.
So there can only be one.
Bingo. See, I've been telling you the truth. My contract is up at the end of this year. Which means the Saviors need a quarterback. You or me. And see, now that we share his blood, it's a fair contest.
All right. So what's the play? What's this contest?
It's very simple. One man wants to walk out that tunnel. And the other man wants to stop him. Now, if you want to be the fucking goat, you're going to have to take it from me.
You didn't earn this shit. You cheated. I worked for this shit.
You ain't shit. You ain't shit. It's time for me to show you exactly who the fuck I am. Football. Family. God. I am him. I am football.
We hear there can only be one to bring salvation to the people, and we hear about the gift of the gods. Zay says when he's got the gift of the gods, the blood of the gods in him, he's like a beast burning with all the blood, the beast, right? Antichrist stuff. Zay's contract is up, so the Saviors are going to have to choose between these two, and they both share his blood, so it's a fair contest. And Zay says, football, family, God, I am him, I am football. Again, saying like he is the God with the I am statement. Also possibly referring to the integrated ascended masters of theosophy. So he replaces the word God with football. He is therefore saying, I am God. you hear earlier, they say, I am him. I am God. Same thing. So they start fighting. Zay snaps Cam's arm in half. Looks like it's all over for Cam. Cam says, you know what's the opposite of a savior? And Zay says, a killer. Cam says, wrong, a mascot, and then bashes Zay's head in with the helmet. What does he mean by this? Remember earlier, Zay told him, don't be a mascot. And he's saying, I think, that he's saying that they're being used by these owners, right? These white devil slave master types, literally sacrificing themselves for these rich old dudes to entertain themselves, just like Dr. Marco's references to the Roman gladiator days. They're promised this great god status. They've got to do blood sacrifices. You know, they got to do all this crazy stuff. For what? To entertain these rich elites. So Cam stumbles across the black and white floor. Of course, it's checkered floor, right? There's blood all over him. And we get another ritualistic style setup again, where he comes out into this opening and there's these cheerleaders on the one side. They're outside now. And then there's all the rich elites on the other side. And the cheerleaders who are cheering him on as he comes out, because they had it set up because this was the whole deal. They had to have a fight to the death to see who's going to be the next goat, who's going to get the contract with the saviors. The cheerleaders, they have no face. Again, that's the whole like death of the ego, wall of faces stuff. And he walks towards this giant circle on the ground with a giant symbol on it and ritualistic elements and a mascot head. And you'll notice the symbol on the ground is basically a giant inverted pentagram with a pair of balls in the middle, which sounds silly, but if you look at Crowley's symbols, he drew a phallus with balls in the Liber Oz book, right? It's a seven-pointed star of Babylon with a phallus coming right at your, like coming at your face. I don't know how to explain it, but if you see it, you know what I'm talking about. And there's Wifey with the big book opened up. She's unaffected that Zay is dead. On the ritual floor, there's a hammer. You know, that's not a good sign. So the owners, they tell Cam, sign the contract to receive the gifts. And Wifey's getting annoyed that Cam isn't signing it. Owner demands, like, Cam, sign the damn thing. And you'll notice the owner is wearing the leather helmet. That's the one that we saw flash earlier. On Zay, right? Implying maybe the owner was the first goat. And the agent says, Cam's agent's there at this point. And he says, your dad sacrificed everything for you. And he sees a photo of him as a kid and dad shaking the owner's hand, implying that this was all staged from the get-go. Cam starts laughing. It could be that his dad was the blood sacrifice in order for Cam to get to this position. So Cam picks up the hammer. And he's like, F you to all these people. And his agent says, we groomed you since you were a child. And the owner says, I'll kill your family if you don't sign this contract. And Cam flashes back to being a child and he sort of replays his whole life. And he's like, nope. Or he says, nah, I should say. Nope is the movie, other Jordan Peele movie. And we see that same mascot from the beginning that first gave him the head injury. And that's the first one that Cam takes out. He slaughters him. Then Wifey, like, chaos ensues. Wifey slips on her own knife and stabs herself in the neck. Cam throws a broadsword into one of the elites, hunts them each down, disembowels them. And they're wearing pig masks too, by the way, very Church of Satan. And then Cam finally tracks down the owner and he puts the sword through his neck and decapitates him and blood just pours out onto the end goal post. And then he kicks the owner's head and the goalpost rattles, just like earlier in the movie when he was throwing the football and it would rattle on the goalpost. So the agent's the last one here alive and Cam goes up to him. Agent wants Cam to kill him, but Cam drops the sword. And a weird, mysterious force drags the agent to the ritual circle and Cam says, no guts, no glory. And you hear the agent get ripped apart and he gets vaporized into the pink mist. And that's the end of the movie. So what's the movie? It's about giving a big F you to the elites for doing all this weird Faustian bargain, alchemy, devil worship stuff and manipulating people into chasing their dreams only to have it be a facade. Very much like a Hollywood movie. This is kind of the ultimate conspiracy theorist movie, really, about rebellion against this system. But wait, there's more. Which fun fact, I think that's from Scary Movie or Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood. If I'm not mistaken, Marlon Wayans says it. I think it's a Scary Movie, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Wikipedia has two alternate endings posted for this movie. On the one, apparently Isaiah survives, watches Cam on TV winning the Super Bowl, meaning Cam signed the Faustian bargain after all. The other ending, Cam signs with a different team and still wins with no Faustian bargain, but then watches the football spin, which proves these entities are following him around. So, in conclusion, let's wrap this journey up. What did we see throughout this film? Major themes, death of the ego, right? We talked about the parallel to the Freemasonic origin story of Hiram Abiff getting smashed in the dome. It's like the death and rebirth process, right? The initiate has to be, you know, killed in order to be reborn. We saw the text message about going to 1717 Masonic Avenue, 17 being Osiris, right? And then lots of Osiris stuff in here, which is the Hiram Abiff story. The wife, you know, Julia Fox, she had her arms crossed like Osiris. The song lyrics talk about the stairway to heaven. That's Osiris. They go into the party hall and you saw the Savior's logo had the Freemasonic compass and square on it. We saw the wall of faces. That's more death of the ego. The cheerleaders, they have no face, death of the ego. Zay says football is, surviving the death of who you used to be. All right, very much death of the ego, death of the self. Then you've got sacrifice themes throughout. You know, we talked about Tyreek Withers, the actor, had an older brother who died in a car crash, and then he became famous. Kind of weird, right? Then we got Julia Fox being all Illuminate confirmed. And now that we dropped those pesky free feed losers, I joke. We can talk about what I said on the 2022 supporter feeds, the bonus show about Julia Fox, because I pulled the transcript because I had to remind myself, like, what do we talk about on this? And it was funny because I said, give it 10 years. They're going to introduce the idea of aliens to create a spirituality around it, get us to worship them, and then do blood sacrifices. Because this is the pagan way. This is how these psychopaths think. And exactly like that's what the Epstein Files are showing. They're like beef jerky and grape soda to Moloch and whatever they're doing. And the reason we talked about that was because Julia's art was very much like Marina Abramovich, and she has paintings of a woman with her head chopped off and a ritual altar and crazy stuff. Now, the sacrifices in the movie, the dad is dead, you know, that's apparently he sacrificed himself for the son. Then he takes the phone call from the agent while he's in the bathtub. Again, a sacrifice thing. There's a character named Moloch, right? The sacrificial god of the Old Testament. Zay and Cam have that thing, and he's like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Cam says everything. Dr. Marco says it takes blood to grow a king, right? It takes a blood sacrifice. Cam tells a story about how his dad died for us with the Christ analogy stuff. Wifey tells him this is going to be a huge sacrifice. I mean, it goes on and on, right? Then you got the idea of the shadow, and the shadow is the dark side. This is the devil. This is the, you know, because the whole film was about Christians getting into Satanism. Cam's wearing the cross. It's the San Antonio Saviors. They have the Hail Mary machine. They have the faith tattoo. We got all the Christian symbolism of getting the blood of the goat or the god, right? And you saw the sixes all over the place. The six on the tape measure across Cam's throat. The Hail Mary speed was set to six. The hyperbaric chamber set to 60. Temperature in the sauna is 203. It ends on day six. I mean, it's all there, right? But then the ultimate expression, the ultimate final finale in conclusion is the deification goat with Bob's. We see the star quarterback. Isaiah White, his number was 10, the Kabbalistic completion of man becoming God. The original script was called GOAT, right? Because the goat with the bobs is the goat. Mascot for the team has the horns. We saw the taxidermy horned animals. Molech or Moloch again. We had the dance floor with the checkered floors. All right. Checkered floor is the opposing polarities coming together. This is the deification stuff. Squaring the circle symbol, which is how the whole movie basically ends, right? It's the symbol of alchemy of solvent coagula. It's an alchemical great work symbol. Zay says, football family God, I am him, I am football. It's all connected. Him means God. This is a movie showing us how not only sports ball works possibly, but maybe Hollywood and how you get the contracts to be a big time celebrity. All right. So fascinating stuff. Great movie, great choice to do for the bonus show for the month of March. Thank you for supporting the show and allowing me to research these topics. These deep dives are quite interesting. So thank you for doing that. I'll probably work on Fallout for the next month. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I appreciate you guys and supporting the show and supporting everything that we do here and helping to spread the word. So thanks again. Till next time, stay positive.